We thank God for tonight. We thank Him for His presence. We thank Him for being with us tonight. We thank Him for speaking to us already. For those of you that have been following along in the past few weeks, we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 5, on the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we reach the sixth beatitude, found in chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. It's a simple, clear statement. Of course, it is packed with such a deep meaning. And we could just sit here, meditate on this, pray about this, and really look at our hearts and pray and go home. But the Word of God is so full. It is so beautiful. It is so deep. And the same passage, this statement, believe it or not, when Jesus said it, it probably came as a shock to many of the Jews that heard Him say this. Nonetheless, we'll get to it. This statement, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," it answers the question, how can I see God? How can I talk to God? How can I have a relationship with God? Before I move on, I want to tell a true story. And not my story, but someone else's story. I know my kids know the story. They know who I'm talking about. A YouTube sensation known as Technoblade. He's a YouTube Minecrafter. He loves to create videos about YouTube. He's fun, energetic to watch. He's very creative. He's got over 14 million subscribers to his channel. Most of his videos have over 10 million of views. But on June 30th, at the age of 23, Technoblade, known as Alex, died of cancer. Last week, or was a week before that, 2 weeks ago, going home from church and sitting in the car with our son, Jaden, he asked me a real question, a really deep question. He's like, "Dad, I know what it means to follow Jesus. I love Jesus. But what about those that maybe don't know Jesus? What happens to them? What happens to the good guys, the decent guys? What happens to the cool guys, the influential people, the really nice people in this world, like this guy, Technoblade, that we followed and we really liked him? He seems like such a nice guy. What happens to them?" Of course, the true answer, the really only answer is this: Jesus is the only way. As Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No matter how good you are, no matter how influential, no matter what you do, without Jesus, you will not see God. Peter also said it when he was filled with the Spirit. He declared it, "Then there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You see, it's not us humans that set the standard. We don't set the standard for salvation. Pastor Gok doesn't set the standard. Pastor Druhora doesn't set the standard. Church of God doesn't set the standard for salvation. The Vatican don't do it. The Pope doesn't set the standard. God set the standard. And the only standard, the only way we can stand before Him is through Jesus. And tonight, the message and the beatitude that we have is very clear. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The beatitude and the message actually continues from this morning's message, if you're here this morning. This beatitude highlights what truly matters. If you remember, it's not quantity, it's quality. No quantity of deeds will get us to see God. No matter how much good we do, no matter how much we give, no matter how great we may be, without Jesus, without that quality, without the pureness of heart, we will not see God. And Paul tells the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of your works, not a result of your deeds, so that no one may boast. No one can stand before God and say, well, God, listen, I gave so much. I did all these good things. I helped all these people. It is not. It's by faith alone through Jesus Christ. Glory to him. In other words, religion doesn't lead to God. The standard requirement as set by God is this: purity in heart. King David knew the standard. And I love this passage. I love the way he wrote this. Psalm 24. He asked this such a profound question. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And he gives the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Pure heart. Tonight, I don't have a 3-point sermon, neither a 5-point sermon nor 10-point sermon, which I'm sure I would get in trouble for. But tonight, I want to have a heart-to-heart talk, pun intended. The message that the Lord has put on my heart is this. It's a question. Am I living a double standard? And I hope that by the end of my message tonight, that each one of us will be able to answer this question personally. Am I living a double standard? And in order for us to help us answer this question personally in our lives, we're going to ask ourselves two other questions. The first question that I want us to ask ourselves, honestly, sincerely: what is precious to me? What is precious to you? We know that we live in a materialistic world. And this world has a very, very different value system than the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus speaks about here in Matthew chapter 5. I did a quick Google search about what people value more than money. And this is what I got in this list. Health. If you have a healthy knee after falling off a skateboard and, you know, breaking some tendons, of course, health would be primarily there. Friends, gratitude, reputation, family, education, giving to others, life experiences. And number 9, faith. And number 10, community. I don't know if you notice, but it's a system of values that is very upside down. Paul tells the Corinthians, now remains these: faith, hope, and love. Really, really precious things. Faith. But the world, the value system of this world, does not treasure faith. So what should we value then? We should value what is truly precious to God. And what is precious to God? Peter tells us in 1 Peter, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, all the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very, very precious. It is that adorning, that growing of that heart, of that purity of heart. And I love this the wording. It's so poetic to adorn the hidden person of our heart with imperishable beauty and a gentle and quiet spirit. May God help us. Our passage today, this Beatitude tells us what is truly precious to God. It is that purity in heart. So let's get to it. What is purity? There's many definitions, many ways to look at it, but very simply, it's something that's not mixed with anything else. Pure means free from contamination. There's no foreign elements in it. It implies the absence of impurity or filth. For those of you that know anything about gold, you know that 24 karat gold means 100% pure. at 22 karat gold means it's got only 98% pure. There's something 2% extra. At 12 karat gold means 50% gold and 50% something else. Could be silver, copper, anything else. But it's not pure gold. Purity of heart, though, means that there is no deception. There's no double-mindedness, no divided allegiance, no double standard. Purity is not a thing. It's not something you can go buy and purchase and get it. It's the state of a heart which by faith in Jesus has been washed of everything that is impure, of every sin by the blood of Christ. That is the purity of the heart. It's a profound change that starts in the heart and it goes from the inside out. It refers to a life of inmost tendency of looking after the things of God, the discretion of our heart, because it's entirely set upon the things of God, upon what is absolutely and eternally pure, God Himself. A pure heart means walking in the Spirit, walking in a life of sanctification. This beatitude calls for a purity at the very center of our being. It describes one who loves God with all his heart. As the commandment says in Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. We have to love the Lord with an undivided loyalty and whose inward nature corresponds with our outward profession. So what is in our heart will be shown outside. When our inmost heart is truly pure, its ongoings in life will also be pure. To be pure in heart is to be pure throughout. During Jesus' time, the Jews placed a very high value on outward cleanliness as prescribed by the law. In Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees see some of Jesus' disciples eating food without first washing their hands. And it became a big thing. In Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees and all the Jews, it says, do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions they follow. So the Pharisees come to Jesus. And this is what they ask. They're very, very upset with what they just saw. And they ask Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands, with unclean hands? And Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of man. Jesus called these guys that only profess with their lips, but their hearts far away from God. Jesus called them hypocrites. There was only an outward show of purity, but they had a defiled and dirty heart. And Jesus goes on to tell them and tells us what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within our heart, the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and they defile a person. All these things come from an unclean heart, a heart that has not been washed, that has been not purified by the blood of the Lamb. If we only put on an outward purity show, but our hearts are not pure, then Jesus calls you and I hypocrites. Do we value what others think of us when we preach, when we sing, when we pray, when we read our Bible? Are we serving the Lord? Or are we just serving our own selfish desires to feel loved, to feel appreciated, to feel welcome, to feel something different? Do our hearts match the words that we proclaim? Paul tells Titus, to the pure, all things are pure, but to defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. They only say that they love God, but everything that they do does not prove it. A heart that is tainted by misguided pleasures will lead straight to hell. If I could take this beatitude and negate it or put the opposite of it, it would sound something like this. Cursed are the impure in heart, for they shall not see God. For those of you that have read or have seen The Lord of the Rings, you remember Gollum. And there was one thing that was very precious to him. It was that ring, that the ring of power that but had just evil power. And it, right at the end, when that ring falls into the fiery volcano, as he was still blinded by the desire of my precious ring, he jumped right in after the ring, right into that fiery volcano. He jumped right into his death. He was blinded by the desire of something impure, something that did not bring life. Many times the problem is the self-deception, the way Gollum was, self-deception leads to death. But we have good news. John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the good news. Only through Jesus, if we truly come to him and recognize the sin that is in our life, can we have purity. Only through him can we have pure hearts, and he is faithful and ready to cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. The purity that which God requires goes deeper than the flesh. It's a purity of the soul and of the conscience. You see, we can't judge the state of others' hearts. We don't see, and I can't see your heart. God is the one that set the standard. God is the one that seeks the heart. You and I may be able to put on a great show of purity, but God sees your heart. Only he can truly judge the state of your heart. It's written in Hebrews. And if you want to know how God judges your heart, here's the answer. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. If you want to know the way God looks at your heart, if you want to know if you have a heart that is pure, that is in accordance with the will of God, then it's right here. It's in this mirror. It's right here. This word will tell you. If you read it, if you understand, if you believe this, you will tell you the state of your heart. And it's God who seeks your heart, who searches your heart and looks upon your heart. You might be able to fool those around you that you're a great Christian, that you're so pious. You may even end up fooling yourself. You may end up deceiving yourself, but you cannot fool God. He knows your heart. The word will show you the true state of your heart. So the question is this. Do I desire, do I value, is a pure heart something that is precious to me? Or am I a hypocrite living a double standard? The first question, what is precious to me? Is purity of heart truly something that I value? The second question, as we ask ourselves, am I living a double standard, is this. What is my purpose? Why do we do what we do? Or as we heard this morning, why did you come? Why did you come to church? Why did you come to do anything? Why did you come up to sing? Why did I come up to preach? Why did you pray? Why did you do all of it? What drives you? What's it all for? Many in life have a very clear purpose. Many people are great planners. They can plan 1 year, 5, 10 years in the future. Unfortunately for many, they don't get to see that plan fulfilled because many die before then. Many are great at planning. Many have clear purpose. Many know that they want to, you know, create a good living for their family. Maybe you just want to get through college. I just want to get through high school. I just want to get through this step of life. But when we draw the line in the sand, where did it all lead? Where did it all lead? The world offers us empty promises and dead ends. Work hard, be rich. And instant gratification is just, it's in our culture. Just do it, right? This world of instant gratification, though, will never be enough gratification. Have any of you bought a new phone in the past weeks, months? Anybody buy a new phone? No? Well, it's a good thing because new phones, new versions of the phones are coming out this September. So, listen, one glass is never enough. Cigarettes come in a pack of many. For those of you that like games, whatever they may be, Fortnite or those games on your phones, they have achievements. And you work really hard to get that achievement, and it feels good. Then they sell you a whole new pack of achievements so you can work hard for the next set of achievements. It never ends. There's always more achievements to work towards, and you're never fulfilled. Because none of these lead through to satisfaction or joy. None of them lead to peace. So as a Christian, what do I work for? What is my purpose? Why do I come to church? Why do I come to sing, to pray, to preach, to give? Is it to check off a box? Is it to look or to pretend that I'm such a great Christian? Is it that I want to appear religious or saintly in some way? Have I managed to deceive myself? Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about what it means to do things out of value. What is the real value? If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So why do I do what I do? So what should our purpose be? If we don't want to be fake Christians, if we want to be authentic Christians, what should our purpose be? And tonight's Beatitude tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It all leads to this promise of having a personal relationship with the Creator. You see, to see Him, to truly see God, it means to be admitted in His presence. When people would go to a doctor, you say, hey, I'm here to see this doctor. Or when you go to see the king, I'm here to see the king. You don't just walk in just any way, but only with a pure heart. You have to have the right state to be able to walk in front of the king, to come before the presence of God. You got to have the right state, the right purity, the purity in heart. To see God means to be amazed by His glory and the beauty of His holiness. After God confronted Job out of the whirlwind and He spoke to him, Job realized this. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you, God. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we truly see God, we are amazed by how holy God is. How wonderful, how glorious, how beauty He is. And we realize who we are. We realize the sin that's in us. We realize our need for repentance. We realize that the sin that's in us, that clings so tightly to us. And we realize our need to repent, in as Job did, in dust and ashes. To see God means to be comforted by His grace. Throughout the Psalms, the authors, the psalmists, love to pray this. Don't hide your face from me. Be gracious to me. And probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, written by David. Seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. The question is this. Do I truly seek a relationship with God? Do I truly seek His presence? Do I truly seek His face? Only the pure in heart can truly declare, thank you, Jesus. Only the pure in heart that see Jesus, it's the moment when you're pure in heart that you can be able to see Jesus in every circumstance in your life. In that trial, God is with you. You can say, thank you, Jesus. When you overcome temptation, you can truly say, thank you, Jesus. When you have food to put on the table for your family, you can say, thank you, Jesus. That your sins have been saved, you can say, thank you, Jesus, because you have seen the one that has revealed Himself. You can see the one that has created you, the one that loved you, that gave everything for you. You can see God. The vision, the clarity of seeing God happens when our heart is opened. True spiritual vision starts at the moment when we have a regenerated heart. Paul tells the Ephesians, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Our eyes, the eyes of our hearts have been enlightened. We're not in darkness anymore. We can see. And what we see is the hope that the one that saved us is alive. Our Savior is alive. Hallelujah. He is worthy, as we sang tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the risen King. That is the hope that we have. We will see God. We will see God. Because when we have a pure heart, we know that we will see the one that has saved us, that has died on the cross, but has rose, that has overcome death, the one that is victorious, the one through which you and I can be victorious. We will see Him on that day. That day is coming soon. We will see our Savior face to face. And on that day, I hope that we'll be able to hear Him speak to us as He spoke to Moses, as it was said this morning. God spoke to Moses face to face. It is our desire, it is our true desire to be able to see Him, to know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we will see Him as He is. Purity of heart is to desire one thing: God's truth and God's values in every single thing that we do. The pure in heart exhibit a single-minded devotion to God. Not a double standard, not a double-minded. A single-minded devotion to God. It implies a singleness of purpose without being distracted by the pleasures of this world. It means being set apart for a special purpose, for a special call. Anything that's distracting us from that, that's corrupt, any corrupting influence will not allow us to see God. Anything like that enters our hearts will not make us effective servants in the kingdom of God. The kingdom servant has his heart undivided. So how do we go about fulfilling this purpose in life? Paul tells Timothy, flee. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And in Hebrews, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the question is this: is my goal, is my desire, is my purpose to see God, to worship Him, to know Him, to have a deep relationship with Him? Is God the center? Do we have a God-centered purpose? Or is it all about me? Is it all about you? Tonight, we started off with the question, how do I know if I'm living a double standard? Ask yourself, I ask myself, what is precious to me? Is purity, purity in heart, a pure heart, truly precious? Do I value that? What is my purpose? Do I truly want to see God? Do I truly want to have a relationship with Him? Because the answer is yes to these. The only way to have a relationship with God is with a heart that has been washed by the blood of Christ. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. I invite you to stand. I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. God is the ultimate judge. When God sent Samuel to anoint a new king after he didn't want Saul anymore, he went to Jesse, and Jesse brought out Eliab. And Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This guy, he's tall. He looks good. Definitely a man for God. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Men look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Tonight, the Lord is in this place, and He's searching your heart, and He's searching my heart. Have I chosen purity? Have I chosen holiness, righteousness? Or have I allowed my heart to be defiled by the pleasures of this world? When Jaden was young, not that he's old now, but when he was young, he had a very, very favorite song. We had to play it all the time, all the time. I don't know if he understood all the words, but this song that we know very well, said, O inima curată, Doamne, este tot ce-mi doresc din partea ta. In English, a clean heart, O Lord, it's all I want from you. A clean heart, O Lord, it's all I want from you. A heart in which evil does not dwell. A heart in which I want you to reign. An open heart for you, my Lord, to raise a hosanna to you, the greatest God. Tonight, have you had enough? Have you had enough of being maybe a lukewarm Christian? Maybe a mediocre Christian? Are you living a double standard? Maybe you've had enough having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Tonight I call you to a night of repentance, to seek your heart. Search your heart. Look deep. Look at the Word. It will tell you the state of your heart. Let the Holy Spirit touch you tonight. He's ready to show you what needs to change in your life. What you've treasured too much, what you've put, what's so precious to you that is above being pure, about holiness. Anything that does not honor God shouldn't be there. So what do? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's meditate on this. Let's look at this. And let's together, let's pray this prayer, the same one that David did in Psalm 51, as we sing along and we pray this prayer of repentance. That is our prayer tonight. If until now you lived that double standard, the double life, listen, I know the battle is real. I know temptation is real. But as we heard earlier, there is victory. There is victory through Jesus. We don't have to have impure hearts. We don't have to dirty ourselves with the sin of this world. We can live in righteousness. We can live in holiness. There is a way. That way is Jesus. Tonight I ask you to come to Jesus. Let Him cleanse your heart. Let Him touch you. Let Him purify you. Stop living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Tonight give your heart to Jesus. Let Him enter. Let the joy of His salvation overcome you tonight. He is in this place. Let's go before the Lord. Let's honor Him. Let's repent.